Ezekiel, my brother Ofri, page 44. Above the firmament, the likeness of a throne. It is to the ultimate consummation of the purpose of God that we are now directed. Above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. The throne is symbolic. It represents that which the cherubic chariot was bringing near to Israel, that is, the rulership of God. This rulership of God over the earth is to be ultimately revealed in members of Adam's race, as we have seen from Psalm 8. We rejoice in the fact that already the captain of our salvation has been crowned with glory and honor, and that God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, that is the name, RSV, which is above every name. In Jesus now is manifested the rulership of God, which ultimately will be visible in the earth. And this is what Jesus means when he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. There's only one throne here, not two, as we see from Revelation 22, where we read of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and we can become, with Jesus, part of this throne. And this is part of the drama of Revelation chapters 4 and 5. In Revelation 4, we read of the throne, God's rulership over the earth. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And in Revelation 5, a slain lamb is seen in the midst of the throne. And because the lamb was slain, we see men redeemed by his blood becoming kings and priests in the earth. And the lamb is extolled in the words, thou wast slain, and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth. That's the revised version. Once we understand these things, we can immediately see why Ezekiel presents the one upon the throne as the likeness, as the appearance of a man. Now, this symbolic man is described as being from the loins upwards as the color of amber, RSV bronze, and having the appearance of fire. From the loins downwards as the appearance of fire, surrounded by a brightness likened unto the bow in the cloud in the day of rain. Each of these three divisions of this one on the throne introduces us to wonderful themes of scripture that can only be considered briefly. There can be no doubt that here in Ezekiel 1 we have the rainbowed angel of Revelation 10. As the following comparison demonstrates, Ezekiel, we read, upward from his loins I saw as it were gleaming bronze like the appearance of fire enclosed round about. And in Revelation 10, according to the RSV, his face was like the sun. Downward from his loins I saw as it were the appearance of fire. In Revelation, his legs like pillars of fire. Ezekiel, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rains, or was the appearance of the brightness round about, and in Revelation wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. And in Ezekiel, a hand was stretched out to me, and lo, a written scroll was in it. And in Revelation, we read a scroll open in his hand. In Revelation 10, the upper part of the man, who Ezekiel says is the color of bronze and has the appearance of fire, is said to be, as it were, the sun. This, of course, connects this man with the one like unto the Son of Man of Revelation 1, whose countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. The reference is to Christ and the saints, the Son of Man, under whose feet all things will soon be placed. Jesus, as the Son of Righteousness, will arise with healing in his beams. And then the righteous also will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Isaiah 60 speaks of the rising of this one with a face like the sun. And at the present time, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But the prophet speaks of a wonderful time yet to come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This one with a face like the sun will accomplish this. And at this time the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. It's Isaiah 60. From the loins down, this apocalyptic man was like fire. And fire in the scripture speaks of judgment. The establishment of these new heavens, which will bear rule over all the earth, will be accomplished through the outpouring of the judgments of God on the wicked nations of the earth. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. It's Isaiah 66. And in 2 Thessalonians we read, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, and taking vengeance on them that know not God, and he shall come to be glorified in his saints. It's interesting to note that in both these passages, the result is the establishment of Yahweh's glory in the earth. And this ties up very nicely with the words of Ezekiel. This appearance of the likeness of a man was, he says, the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. It will be the privilege of the saints to cooperate with the Lord Jesus in this work of judgment of the nations. And they are included in the multitudinous Son of Man who has legs like pillars of fire. And the psalmist speaks of their involvement in the judgment process in Psalm 149. This appearance of a man upon the throne was, says the prophet, the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And speaking of the establishment of the kingdom, the psalmist writes, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. And this is speaking, of course, of the manifestation of Yahweh's glory in Christ and the saints who, as the Son of Man, will be revealed as the lights of Israel and the world. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, manifested the moral glory of the Father. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In the age to come, he will cause to be revealed both the moral and the physical glory of the God of Israel. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. We are called to be a part of the glory which is to be revealed, even now to seek for glory and honour, with the assurance that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. The multitudinous Son of Man, the one upon the throne, the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. The vision described so far in the first chapter is the basis upon which the rest of Ezekiel's prophecy is built, and its message, as we've tried to show, was threefold. One, the angelo-cherubic chariot was very soon to bring into the land of Israel the judgments of God. Two, this was not simply a question of the punishment of evildoers, but more important, it was intended to bring back the preservation of a remnant through whom the purpose of God would continue. And three, the purpose of God was represented by that which the cherubic chariot bore aloft, the appearance of a man, which was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Yahweh's purpose is that ultimately his glory will be manifested in members of Adam's race. All things will be subject unto the Son of Man. When Ezekiel saw this vision, he fell upon his face. And this is interesting because the prophet is still seeing the vision. But at this point, he evidently becomes more than an onlooker. He becomes a part of the vision. He sees himself falling down and subsequently rising to do God's bidding. And when he is thus prostrated before this vision of God, he hears a voice, Son of Man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Ezekiel is called Son of Man some 90 times, and undoubtedly there is a reason for it. The Hebrew word, Son of Man, the words are Ben Adam, and they occur many times in the Old Testament. But here in Ezekiel 2, Son of Man is used of an individual. The fact that Ezekiel is called Son of Man connects him immediately with the one on the throne. The glory of God, which ultimately is to be manifested in the redeemed sons of Adam, was to be manifested in the prophet then. He was to be to Israel in God's stead, speaking God's words, revealing God's character, and as far as Israel were concerned, causing God's judgments to be brought upon the disobedient nation. In this, he represents the Son of Man, the individual Son of Man who would be raised up as the captain of our salvation. He also would be to Israel in God's stead, speaking God's words, revealing God's character, and sending God's judgments upon the nation that rejected him. Ezekiel, Son of Man, which means God will strengthen the Son of Man, beginning his ministry among the people of Israel, is divinely strengthened for the great work before him. And in this too, he foreshadows the greater Son of Man, concerning whom Asaph prayed, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. Upon the Son of Man, then Adam, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Psalm 80.